Perspectives on Easter, a 1010 Thrive special. As the sun began to set, we left the upper room where we had shared the Last Supper. Jesus led us to the Garden of Gethsemane, a place he often retreated to for prayer and solitude. I could sense a heaviness in the air, and the weight of what was to come settled upon us. We entered the garden, and Jesus asked me, along with James and John, to stay with him and keep watch. Our hearts were filled with confusion and a little sorrow. It was then that I noticed a change in Jesus. His face seemed to bear the weights of the world, and his demeanor was one of deep anguish. Jesus withdrew a short distance from us and fell to his knees, his eyes turned upwards to the heavens. There, in the quiet stillness of the garden, he began to pour out his heart to the Father. I strained to hear his words, and the intensity of his prayer struck me to the core. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." His voice was heavy with emotion, and I could see the sweat dripping like drops of blood from his brow. It was as if he was wrestling with the reality of what was to come, his impending suffering and death. I glanced over at James and John, and I could see that they too were deeply affected by the scene before us. They seemed to be struggling to stay awake, weighed down by sorrow and exhaustion. Despite our best intentions, we all succumbed to sleep, leaving Jesus to face this trial alone. I was jolted awake by Jesus' touch on my shoulder. "Simon, are you asleep?" he asked, his voice filled with disappointment. "Couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour?" I felt a surge of shame as I realized that I had let him down in his hour of need. Jesus urged us to pray so that we would not fall into temptation. We tried to rouse ourselves, but our spirits were weak, and we could not find the strength to stay awake. This happened 3 times, and each time Jesus returned to find us, yes, asleep. Finally, Jesus woke us up once more, and his tone was urgent. "Get up! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." Suddenly, we heard the sounds of a mob approaching, and my heart raced with fear and anticipation. Judas, one of our own, appeared at the head of the crowd. I was confused. In the dim light, I could see that he was accompanied by the chief priests, elders, and guards. I remember when Judas left the upper room, but I thought that he had gone to minister to the poor or do some errand for Jesus. Betrayal and disbelief washed over me as Judas stepped forward and kissed Jesus on the cheek, signaling to the mob the one they should arrest. As they laid their hands on Jesus, I felt a rush of rage and impulsively drew my sword, striking the high priest's servant and cutting off his ear. Jesus immediately rebuked me, saying, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword." He then healed the servant's ear, displaying his compassion and mercy even in the face of betrayal and arrest. After Jesus was taken from the garden, I followed the crowd at a distance as they led the Lord to the house of the former high priest, Annas. My heart raced with fear and sorrow, and I struggled to comprehend the events that were unfolding. As I approached the courtyard of Annas, I noticed a servant girl watching me. She recognized me as one of Jesus' followers, and I panicked. Desperate to avoid arrest myself, I quickly denied knowing him. But my fear, shame, and the cold of the night gnawed at me as I huddled near the fire, trying to warm myself. Over the course of the night, I was recognized 2 more times, and each time I vehemently denied knowing Jesus. My shame deepened as I remembered Jesus' prophecy that I would deny him 3 times, before the rooster crowed. And when that rooster finally crowed, my heart shattered. I had failed my Lord in his darkest hour, and the weight of my betrayal was unbearable. Meanwhile, Jesus was facing a mockery of a trial. The chief priests, Elders and scribes had gathered, seeking false witnesses to testify against him, so that they could justify putting him to death. Eventually, they accused him of blasphemy for claiming to be the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus was taken from the high priest's house to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, for his final judgment. I learned later that Pilate found no fault in Jesus, but the religious leaders and the mob, they were insistent. Fearing a rebellion, Pilate agreed to have Jesus flogged and crucified. As Jesus was led away, I caught sight of him, beaten and wearing a crown of thorns that the soldiers had cruelly fashioned. A wave of helplessness and guilt washed over me as I watched him carry his own cross in the streets of Jerusalem. His body, weakened by the flogging, struggled under the weight of the cross, and I was reminded of the immense burden he bore for us all. They led Jesus to Golgotha, a place called the Skull, where he'd be crucified. As the soldiers nailed his hands and feet to the cross, the crowd jeered and mocked him. But Jesus, even in the midst of unimaginable pain and suffering, spoke with love and forgiveness. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." I watched from a distance, still afraid to get too close in case I was recognized. And at the ninth hour, the darkness that had settled over the area seemed to deepen. There was a mighty earthquake, and Jesus died. On Sunday morning, we gathered in a room on the outskirts of the city, hiding from the authorities whom we believed were looking for us. As we discussed our confusion and sadness, several of the women among our group, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, came rushing in, their faces flushed with excitement. They spoke of an empty tomb and angels, proclaiming that Jesus was alive. At first, we were skeptical, thinking it was just an expression of their grief. How could it be true? But John, my dear friend and fellow disciple, urged me to go with him to see for ourselves. Until we ran, our hearts pounding, the wind rushing past our faces as we raced toward the tomb where Jesus had been laid. As we arrived, I could barely catch my breath, both from running and the overwhelming anticipation. There it was. The stone rolled away and the tomb was empty. As I peered into the darkness, I saw the linen cloths that had once wrapped Jesus' body lying there, now devoid of any form. My heart leaped with a mixture of disbelief, hope, and fear. John was excited and he ran back to the room where the other disciples were gathered. I walked back slowly, my mind racing. I was excited by the possibility that Jesus truly was alive. But how could I face him after I had denied him three times just days ago? I decided to walk through the garden on my way to the others. As I rounded a corner, I saw a figure standing beneath a blooming olive tree. At first, I did not recognize him. But as I drew nearer, I suddenly realized that it was Jesus alive and standing before me. My heart leaped within my chest, and I could barely believe my eyes. "Peter," Jesus called softly, his voice familiar and comforting. He looked at me with a gentle smile, his eyes filled with compassion and understanding. "Lord," I whispered, my voice trembling with emotion. I fell to my knees, overwhelmed by the sight of my risen teacher, friend, and Lord. Tears streamed down my face as I tried to comprehend the miracle that was unfolding before me. Jesus walked towards me and placed a hand on my shoulder. "Do not be afraid, Peter," he said, his voice steady and reassuring. "I have overcome death, and I am here with you now." My heart filled with joy and relief as I looked up at him. The weight of my guilt and shame seemed to lift as I realized that he had forgiven me, just as he had forgiven us all. "Go tell the others," Jesus instructed, his gaze locked on mine. "Share the good news of my resurrection, and let them know that I am alive."
To be continued.